Ready, go ahead.
Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in ugly, cloudy, muggy, although not hot, northern New Jersey. And my partner and co-potter and friend, JJ Sefton, is in hopefully lovely, lovely Wisconsin. How are you, my friend?
I am well, sir, and it is lovely here. It's very sunny. It's not particularly cold. It's cool. It's pleasant. And it's a beautiful late spring, almost early summer day. And tomorrow, as an aside, we have Juneteenth, where we celebrate the wonderful life and accomplishments of June Lockhart. At least that's what I'm going to do. Anyway, there's a lot of other things happening beside that, of course. Most notably, the Versailles Treaty between the United
Yeah.
States and Iran. Oh,
Wow. You know, at first glance, I was disappointed in it, and I think many people are. The
yes.
issue, of course, is what are we as a country going to do if and when Iran violates the agreement? And they're going to. These are liars. They have been lying for thousands of years. They're good at it. That's all they know how to do. And their ultimate goal, of course, which is the creation of a worldwide caliphate via a maniacal sect that is waiting for the 12th imam to return out of a well or a sewer. I don't remember exactly what it is. They're not going to change that. So the question, as I said, is what are we going to do about it when they violate the agreement?
Exactly. It is just, it's, and plus the insult to injury is now we've supposedly pledged them $300 billion to rebuild or unfreezing assets. And this is a regime that has drenched the world in blood for the last, in Iran, for sure, since Jimmy Carter stabbed the Shah in the back and created the state in the first place. And for, as you say, CBD, for nearly 1500 years with the cause of creating a global caliphate under Islam. And it's insane.
Well,
So yes,
I
they
would
will
suggest that
violate
it, I would suggest that it goes back even farther than, or further than the creation of Islam as a political philosophy. These, you know, the Iranians, the Persians, are certainly non-Western. They embrace the idea of subterfuge and cheating and lying. That it's a cultural norm. That it's simply the way it is in the Arab and Muslim world, but that predates the, as I said, it predates the creation of Islam. But that doesn't
Okay.
matter. It's how they're going to respond to the United States' demands now, and what we are going to do when they cheat.
Exactly. And the fact that we've recognized them and we've let them be at the bargaining table, which we sort of, I guess, had to do because they are the leaders of the country. But that said, that you know, we did not go all in for a regime change where we remove them from power and put at least some sort of benign, whatever it might be, that will not engage in terrorism and is not hell-bent for nuclear destruction. I mean, that is our failing, unfortunately.
Well, again, nothing concrete has been done. And by the way, we have been reassured by the administration that none of that $300 billion is going to come from American taxpayers. And I mean, if Trump is in charge, I believe that. The obvious issue with that is what happens if a Democrat wins in 2028.
Exactly.
You know, all bets are off. We're going to pay for the rebuilding of Iran right after we broke it. I don't know.
Yes, we
It's a mess. And
yes,
I
just as
wish,
in tra-
you know,
oh, just as,
if
sorry.
go ahead.
Yeah, just as intransigent as the mullahs are, we have an intransigent deep state State Department that also is into globalism, does not want to see America as the world superpower, certainly hates the state of Israel. And since the Biden-Obama junta has tried to knock Israel off, you know, off the map and has tried to reinstall Iran as the power in the Middle East. So yes, once, God forbid, a Democrat once resumes office, that is certainly going to be, they're going to be back on track to do that once again. And inevitably there will be a Democrat, unfortunately, God forbid, in power once again, whether it's this go round or who knows when. Hopefully never, but we'll see.
The State Department has gotten much better. We have to admit that Marco
Well,
Rubio
of course.
has cleaned it up tremendously. But you're right. It is it's embedded the way ticks embed themselves in us, and it's going to be very, very difficult to extricate their malign intent from the State Department. It's a generational change.
Yep.
Well, look, Rubio is doing yeoman's work, so maybe he can manage this treaty more effectively than Donald Trump's ricocheting around with his pronouncements. It's frustrating.
Yep.
I wish he had presented the case to the American people and continued to present it as circumstances changed. But these, you know, these binary announcements that he makes, they can never have a nuclear weapon, and regime change and unconditional surrender, and then all of a sudden he gives in. And sure, if we're dealing with a real estate contract for a 60-story building on the Upper West Side, that's one thing. But we're dealing with the lives and deaths and possible deaths of millions of people. And I think that Donald Trump, it would behoove him to shift his tenor, his tone, to a perhaps a more measured and dignified way. But again, that's not going to happen. He doesn't listen to me. So
no, it is what it is. And we're now moving forward with this thing for better or for worse. And let's hope it's for better. At the very least, yes, Iran has been delayed from getting an atomic bomb, at least for this go round. And thanks also in no small part to the State of Israel, which are our allies in this. And for them, it is a direct existential threat, as we know. And
yes.
So,
we can also be optimistic. Let's be honest yes. about what happened during this 40-day pseudo war. It wasn't a war. It was a one-sided beating. Iran's missile building capacity has been tremendously degraded. Their stocks of missiles have been decimated now, much more than decimated, destroyed, probably most of them. Their ability to produce precursors to both the explosives and the mechanical parts that these missiles require has been degraded. Many, many, many of the IRGC have been killed. So it's not as if Iran can simply, turn a switch and start building missiles again. That's not the case. The United States Armed Forces did a hell of a job. They beat the snot out of Iran with essentially no casualties. I know that we lost 13 brave souls, and we need to remember them. But as wars go, this has been a painless one.
Right, and compared to the needless insanity
was successful.
Right, and compared to the needless insanity of Afghanistan, which cost thousands of lives of Americans, which for what, you know?
Well, I appreciate the fact that the rules of engagement changed completely.
Yes.
Instead of getting approval to shoot a sniper from the White House senior counsel, our armed forces can conduct a war as they see fit. And that's vital. And we have to give Donald Trump tremendous credit for shifting the paradigm.
Yeah, no more micromanagement. Yes. Thank God for that.
Yes. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier the deep state. So that's a perfect segue to the next topic, which, well, it could be a couple of things, but let's stay on the foreign policy front and talk about the reapproval of FISA, which I disagree with 100%.
And mostly because it is a tool of the deep state, not necessarily as it's intended, which is to go after potential foreign terrorists and spies and agents provocateur, but to go after American citizens, who oppose whatever Democrat may be in office, as we have seen the Biden junta do con gusto and going after Catholics and others who protest abortion and those who protest at school boards. It has been proven that they have used this, the machinations of the intelligence and law enforcement and judicial branches to literally persecute innocent Americans who are exercising their rights to oppose the things that they oppose. So That's why FISA is a disaster because of
It's
its
evil.
potential for abuse.
Yeah,
It's evil.
and as you said, the original intent was to moderate the conduct of the federal government, but what it has done is created these super courts that allow pretty much anything that the government wants. And they are spying. What they do essentially is they spy on foreigners, and when the foreigners have incidental or intended contact with Americans, they spy on them. But the vast majority of those contacts are incidental. So what it means is that our intelligence services have carte blanche to spy on Americans. It sounds ridiculous, but that is the reality of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that is what is happening. And it's
Yes, indeed.
disgusting. It is contrary to everything that this country was founded upon, and it is contrary to essentially the rule of law. But as I said, these courts that are above essentially everything have allowed this destruction of our civil liberties to a disgusting extent.
Yes, I know, and unfortunately, the salient point is we have the GOP once again ramming this home and ramming this down our throats with the aid of course, with the eager assistance of the Democrats. And I mean, people like John Thune, who is a horrendous SOB and needs to be booted. And hopefully he does go the way also of John Cornyn, who's now gone, thank God. But
Yeah, but he's
yes,
not
I
gone.
mean,
That's the problem.
not,
He's still voting, and he's still attacking Trump, and he's still
right.
dragging his heels when it comes to the Save Act.
Yes.
Listen, the Save Act is dead. I would be very surprised
Sadly.
if it was approved. I
Yeah,
wrote
this they
about
go
this.
all in for it, but yeah, the Save Act of yeah, they go all crazy to destroy Americans' liberties, but to try to ensure the franchise and prevent elections from being rigged and stolen, no, that can't be done.
Yeah, I wrote about this morning on Cutjib Newsletter and Ace of Spades in my morning rant, and I talked about the ability of the Republican Party to water down its traditional political philosophy. There is no political philosophy other than personal aggrandizement and the accumulation of wealth. That's what the Senate is doing. They don't give a shit about any other political philosophy. They certainly don't care about the civil liberties of Americans. They don't care about the integrity of our voting systems. They care about one thing and one thing only, and that is themselves. And I
Yeah, so they need to
contrasted that.
preserve. Yeah, they need to preserve the power of the Democrats so that they too can have their seat at the trough, and put their snouts in it, and be the fake opposition party, the
But the
Potemkin opposition party, and that's all they are.
and they and they've allowed They've allowed their personal animosity toward Trump to govern their votes. Now, I don't care about who Donald Trump is. I care about what he does. And the Save Act is something that he supports, and I think it's a wonderful thing. The fact that Thune and Cornyn and a couple of other guys are vehemently opposed to it because of Donald Trump tells me all I need to know about their personal integrity. And what's interesting is that the Democrats, who are vile people in their own right, I mean, think about the top 10% of Democrat leadership. They're disgusting people. I wouldn't want to be in the same room with them. But they push all of that away and they vote en masse. They vote as a bloc, and that is how they are successful. Because they understand that party unity is more important than these personal animosities. Those, I'm sure, are virulent and hysterically funny, probably in private, but we never see it in public. And that is why the Democrat Party, one of the many reasons why the Democrat Party is more successful than the corporate branch of the GOP.
Right. And the animosity to Trump by the GOP is not even, it's yes, there is a personal element to it. I'm sure bitterness and jealousy of, just of who he is and what he's accomplished in his life. But beyond that is for what he has stood for when he ran for president and won, and with the backing of the American people, which is to end the graft, and of which the GOP is part of. They are equally parasitic. They don't care that the Democrats are trying to destroy the money, destroy the country, so long as they can make a buck off of it. And getting rid of that is, it goes, it puts them out of power and puts them out of their ability to steal from, to put their snouts in the public trough. And that's one, that's a main reason why they oppose Donald Trump, because he is antithetical to their sham of a grift. So there you go.
It's not a sham grift, though. It works very, very well.
Sadly, yes, true.
Yeah. It's I'm discovering that the evil that is embedded in our government is even more comprehensive than I thought it was. And I thought it was pretty bad. But every single day we see more evidence that these people are venal to an extent that just amazes me. They simply do not care.
Yep.
If we had left it up to the Senate, the Iranians would have nuclear weapons right now.
Yep.
And
the amazing,
leaving it up to the Senate
thing
means
is,
that the government will spy on Americans. And leaving it up to the Senate means that illegal immigrants, illegal aliens will vote. And our voting systems will be permanently destroyed, in that they will simply be tools of the dominant party in the various states.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
That to me is disgusting, and it, as I said, it describes the lack of political philosophy of the Republican Party rather well, and it's disappointing, to say the least.
Absolutely. Hopefully Donald Trump and the MAGA movement can pick up and succeed where the Tea Party failed. And maybe there will be, the fact that Donald Trump even was elected the two times, if I say three, if you count the 2020 stolen election, the fact that he was elected all those times certainly means that there is a definite mood for change in this country from this way of doing things, that there is a silent majority who does not want to be silent anymore. And hopefully this will carry on generationally and keep on going, please God, because we need to. Otherwise, all is lost. And Donald Trump will just merely be a speed bump on our path to doom. And I certainly hope that's not the case.
I hope it's not the case, too. You know, he has done such good work, particularly in the first year and a half of his second term.
Yes.
And I have to say, I don't know if you noticed this, but it just came across the wire. I love saying that. I feel like a real newsman.
You are a real newsman compared to who? Hello.
Hegseth just ordered a review of the United States force posture in Europe. And he has warned the what he calls laggards of NATO, the ones who promise that they're going to spend X on defense, but they spend some small fraction of X on defense. And I think it's vitally important, because the charge against the Trump administration is that they promised no wars, but they promptly got us into one. And that's a valid charge. I think it's simplistic. And I think that if you understand what we have done in Iran, it makes much more sense. But it is a valid charge. But Hegseth is pushing hard against NATO. And I think that the American people will appreciate that kind of defense of American interests. And it's just one more bit of data that show that Pete Hegseth is a superb Secretary of War. He
Indeed.
And Besant, I think, were brilliant choices. And I
applaud
Donald
Trump. I think was
Donald
Marco
Trump.
Rubio.
Marco Rubio, another brilliant choice. Marco Rubio is going to be one of the great secretaries of state in our history. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
He already is.
Absolutely.
And Hegseth is going to be a great, you know, listen, we're not fighting a world war. So Hegseth only has so much that he can do, which is fine. But yeah, those three have been marvelous. And there are more. So.
And Linda McMahon, in by her dismantling, you know, much of the Department of Education, you know, she's great too in her silent way, which is sort of going under the radar. But she's doing great job in reversing much of the poisoning of the American mind.
Yeah. So a couple of other things are going on. That one thing I noticed today, the Supreme Court ruled that the law barring drug users from owning guns is unconstitutional. And it was a unanimous opinion on the part of the Supreme Court, which is surprising because Jumanji Jackson, I guess she actually did read the information about the case. Anyway, some guy took it to the Supreme Court because, you know, his guns were taken away because he had marijuana or he smoked marijuana. And the Supreme Court said no. How I feel about that, I don't know. I don't want people who are stoned having firearms, but that's irrational too because I drink and I have firearms. Do I drink and have firearms at the same time? No. But I think that people get high during the day much more frequently than people drink during the day. I think drinking is, in many cases in the United States, a social function. And marijuana seems to be more of a daily activity. But again, I'm not going to argue this.
Right. That sounds right, actually. But still, yes. It's the principle of the Second Amendment.
Yes.
And that
overwhelms every other issue when it comes to this.
There have been a number of rulings, both nationally and statewide, that are bode very well for the Second Amendment. I think there was a in West Virginia, they passed a law saying that 19 and 20 year olds now can conceal carry, whereas before they couldn't for some strange reason. But now, you know, if they're properly trained and they have a CCL license, they can conceal carry too. Good.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll prevent school shooting. Hello.
Yeah, the Second Amendment is clear. So anyway, closer to home and closer to your old home, the New York Knicks, apparently they won a couple of basketball games and they're now champions of something. I'm not a fan of basketball, and I'm certainly not a fan of New York sports. I love baseball and I used to love the Yankees, but I don't really care about them that much. But I have to admit, the excitement in the New York area with regard to the Knicks' unbelievable run to the NBA championship was really, really fun. I watched some of the games, not all of them, and not all of the game, but it was really exciting. And I have to admit that the New York Knicks players are fairly impressive young men. And I like the idea of the collegial atmosphere on the bench. I like the idea that three of them went to Villanova and have remained fast friends. I like the idea that they are playing it as a team sport. And that bodes well for the important message, and that is that athletics is an edifying thing and that athletics has a role in the development of children and teenagers into adults. It's important. I think that, you know, mens sano in corpore sano, which means sound mind and sound body. This is important stuff. And the Knicks have certainly comported themselves well. And they apparently are going to the White House. There's been a lot of controversy about that because, you know, Donald Trump, he's the second coming of the devil. And you know, you can't go to the White House because Donald Trump lives in the White House. Just asinine.
Yeah. You know, that's communist Islamic communist Mamdani mayor who is like screaming his head off about it. Meanwhile, the animals in New York City, once the Knicks won, what did they do? They torched a school bus. They rioted, they smashed windows. Yes, this is what you're supposed to do when your team wins. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But of course, that's to be excused, or not even, you look the other way on that. But ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's just youth enjoying themselves. It was a festive atmosphere.
Exactly.
It was mostly peaceful, except for the violence.
Exactly.
And the arson. Yeah, and the shootings. There was a shooting in Times Square, I thought.
Yes, something like that. Exactly. Yeah. And for me, I mean, I haven't really followed the Knicks. I think since the end of the career of I can't even think of his name now. It just came in and out of my mind. Not the, well, yes, for sure, Dave DeBuscher. Yes, I mean, I really gave a shit about it. But Patrick Ewing, I think, was the one of the last games. I take it back. I went to a game maybe like 15 or 20 years or so ago. But for sure, the last time I really was sort of following them was the Ewing years, and that's when they sort of had a run, and then they, and that was it. That was then they couldn't quite make it, and that was like the early mid 90s, and that's it. But I could care less about professional sports. But it is interesting while we're on that vein. Who was it? I forgot what team who put was for Pride Month who wrote Christian messages on their baseball hats, and I thought that was good. And of course, the left is freaking out over that.
Yeah. What's interesting is that the players were warned by Major League Baseball not to do that. But Major League Baseball mandated that they wear a pride hat, which in and of itself is the explicit approval of a political and philosophical stance. The hypocrisy of Major League Baseball is unbelievable to me. And listen, it doesn't surprise me. I wrote about this on Ace of Spades, I think, on Tuesday. That their hypocrisy knows no bounds. But good for those few gentlemen who wrote those messages on their hats.
Good.
I hope that the pushback from America against MLB is significant.
Now, there were some articles that I have seen that there is definite pushback. There is definite protest against MLB for doing what they're doing and persecuting Christian players, which is essentially what they're doing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So good. Good for them. And to hell with professional sports until unless there is an American renaissance and a rebirth of freedom in this country, please God, as we approach our 250th birthday in the next coming weeks. Look at where we are and where we were. My God, crazy.
Yeah, speaking of hypocrisy, FIFA, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, I believe FIFA, yes.
FIFA. Yeah, they had security take a guy or confiscate a guy's Israeli flag at a game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Bastard.
Of course, there were Lebanese and Mexican flags flying everywhere, and apparently there was a Palestinian flag being flown,
yeah.
But no, the Israeli flag is beyond the pale.
Exactly.
So.
Meanwhile, there are articles that Europeans who are in America are just loving and eating up American culture. They love it. I mean, hopefully that's real American culture, but they love everything from Waffle House to whatever. And they're just it's someone wrote, I think maybe our friends over at Legal Insurrection had a nice piece saying European tourists and fans are doing more to boost the image of America than anyone is doing prior to the 250th celebrations. So good. Wonderful.
Well, listen,
I guess the rape gangs are, running wild.
They've left their second world countries. They've come to a first world country and they discovered wonderful things that we have ample and we have abundant food. We have air conditioning. We have ice. We have large hotel rooms. We have big cars. We have inexpensive fuel. We have, we have incredibly friendly people. Let's face it, folks. Sefton and I are, from the Northeast, New York area, a bunch of fucking assholes for the most part. Most of America is populated by lovely, lovely people. They're friendly, they're helpful, they're kind. They're not arrogant pricks like most of us in the Northeast. And that to me is America. I write about the joy of the South a lot on Ace of Spades and at Kutchip Newsletter, and I really mean it. When I leave this area and go especially to the South, it's such a delight to chat with people who are genuinely friendly.
Yep.
One of the interesting things that I've found also is that the South, of course, is supposed to be irredeemably racist and segregated. That's absolute nonsense, folks, as most of you know already. The South is far more integrated than the Northeast is. I can go to restaurants around here and I won't see a black person. Not a single black person in the restaurant. I can go to a restaurant in the South, anywhere in the South, and it's a snapshot of America. So anytime you hear some smug cocksucker from the Northeast talking about the racism inherent in the South, tell him to go fuck himself. Sorry, folks, but I This is one of the things that really irritates me about living in the New York area and in the Northeast. Anyway.
And it's one of the refreshing things about living here in the Midwest, even though I am within smelling distance of Madison, Wisconsin, and to an extent Chicago and Milwaukee. But even still, the people where I am here, far enough away from those progressive hellholes, are absolutely wonderful, and it's a joy. It really is. Lovely people. And yes, there are things about my hometown that I do miss, but of course that is like, as we get older, it is long ago and far away. So, and that's sad, but oh well.
Oh, well. Anyway, folks, both Sefton and I have life intruding upon this podcast. So I'd like to thank you in advance for hopefully listening to this one. Thank you for your support and your commenting and your reading of Sefton's and my work at Kutchup Newsletter and also at Ace of Spades. Listen, we'll talk to you next week. Sefton, take it away.
You bet. You have been listening to the Kutchup Newsletter Speaks podcasts around the world, across the nation, and up your street. All the news and commentary that is what you need, my dear friends. And thank you so much for all your love and support, as CBD has said, in commenting, in hitting the tip jar, and just being there. Because if it weren't for you, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this. I don't think we would. So God bless you all, and we'll see you again next week on the next one. And happy June Lockhart-teenth.
Thanks for listening, folks.